You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Welcome to an all-new ILTA podcast, Technology Competence. We're excited to sit down today and talk all things ABA Rule 1.1. But the coolest part about all of this is that we're going to go between firms, organizations, law students, practicing attorneys to talk to them about what technical competency means in their world. My name is Beth Ann Stubbe, and I'm the director of ILTA's Publications and Press. And today I sit down with Ashley Picker Dubin. She is the counsel over at Day Pitney LLP. Ashley, welcome so much.
Thanks, Beth Ann. I'm glad to be here.
Would you tell me just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm a commercial litigator with a primary practice in discovery and all things related to ESI and many things related to artificial intelligence.
Well, when we talked previously, we had a really interesting conversation, and that's one of those that I wish I had been able to capture. But all of this started when we talked very early on about what the ABA Rule 1.1 states. And it's really just competency, and competency not only keeping abreast of the laws as they change, but keeping abreast of relevant technology as you and your firm represents clients. So let's dive right in. How is your firm addressing ABA Rule 1.1 and providing opportunities and programs?
We have learning opportunities available to us through many different forms, but it's an internal conversation on a regular basis. The model rules and all of the local rules are largely the same in regards to 1.1. And one of the comments is that lawyers must be up to date on relevant technology, and that technology changes with such a quick pace that we make sure that we have tools available for us to be able to discuss the new technology and learn about it. And you have a forum to be able to ask questions when they arise.
And just before we sat down to this, we were just talking about like the limited tech that we're using, you know, in home offices, work from home, and everywhere else, really, like what's in our purses and running around. But what are your opinions on how all of this has evolved? I mean, we're not talking simply iPads and technology. We're talking really competency in tech, in law.
That's right. And I think that there is, across the practice of law, a general understanding about artificial intelligence, but not an in-depth knowledge of what the available capabilities are of the tools that are presently on the market and those that are about to go to market. And in particular, we've used artificial intelligence in some form or fashion in the e-discovery space for 12, 13 years on a pretty regular basis. But with generative AI, as it starts to appear, I mean, it's really been around for a while now, but the bots have become more mainstream. Things like ChatGPT are coming up in the news. So there's a fundamental lack of understanding about how generative AI works and what its implications are for the legal community.
You, I know, are passionate about AI, and I think it's something that bears repeating. One of the things that we work on our tech survey. It's our largest survey every year. You know, almost 600 firms take it. It's got a new section this year about strategy, and we try to cover, you know, Google Bard, ChatGPT, DALL-E, and I don't think we're looking far enough out. How do you think that kind of processes will have to be amended to secure client data? How are you guys using it? And what do you think is going to hit the marketplace? I know that was a lot.
Sure. So we're not using generative AI internally right now. That said, our clients may be. So we need to understand what our clients are using and how they're using it in order to properly identify evidence to be used in the course of litigation. And I come at this from a litigation perspective, but of course that there are tools that allow for the generation of contracts and the way that those may be generated and later reviewed by a person, by an actual attorney with all of the necessary requirements. That's understanding how our clients use generative AI is going to be vital in the practice of law over the course of the next couple of years. I'll be interested to see how ChatGPT, GPT-4, and Bard really impact the contract generation process. But really, for my purposes, it's how that impacts the future litigation.
And I think that's really important. The idea that through both litigation, e-discovery, and just having the tools available, that's technical competency, being able to use them and then I think further apply them. On a personal level, do you have any major concerns that we're seeing? You know, if Elon Musk is concerned, I have questions.
Right. I think there are significant ethical concerns about how these tools are being used, how AI systems could automate decisions that should be made by humans or decisions that relate to future sentencing, how it may relate to bail, whether the information being generated exists in law rather than something that has been trained improperly. Generative AI learns from available information on the internet, which allows for quite a bit of flexibility in the responses. And unfortunately, it can't be relied upon to provide things like case law. You know, we still need to rely on the tools available, Westlaw, Lexis, any case reporting system. And we still need to be on the lookout for the way data is created and maintained, so that we are able to identify or potentially identify what are sometimes called deep fakes or otherwise known as fabricated evidence.
And I think there's an astounding amount of misinformation obviously out there, but I think that that does beg the question, is everything that's going in good and then usable?
That's right. And there's, you know, there's a real risk of bias in the information that's being populated into the available tools. And there's also security risks. So
yes.
How is the data being maintained? How is it being stored? If you're entering your company's private data, is that then being used to generate responses to other people's inquiries? And could you be potentially risking your corporate tools and your corporate information by leveraging generative AI without having a further understanding of how the tool functions?
How do you think generative AI ultimately is going to affect technical competency? Do you think the law will have to be rewritten?
I don't know that the law will need to be rewritten, but we do need to have a greater understanding, and there may need to be some regulatory practice and ultimately legislation on the restrictions of use of particular tools. We certainly in the AI sphere have not seen a lot of regulation over the forms of data and how AI is used from a data privacy perspective, from a contract generation perspective, and certainly from a litigation perspective. There are real risks. And that's something that we as a firm are still evaluating, but I think the legal community at large is still evaluating. Generative AI is new enough in the public sphere that it's really just coming to the forefront of the news. And as much as it's a fun tool to play with on a personal basis, it isn't something that I would rely on yet in the practice of law.
And I think that's something we're hearing consistently from other litigators, from a lot of people in KM, e-discovery. They're saying that it's a tool. It has to be treated like a tool. It's not an end-all, be-all of anything. And it's certainly
right.
Not going to replace, you know, common knowledge. And I do think you brought up a fantastic point, the idea that it can be used consistently, but there have to be parameters around it.
And I think that there's a misunderstanding about how generative AI can be used versus human-centered AI. So generative AI, which is relatively new, we're using this chatbot that allows us to enter in queries and the information then is provided back to us in the form of a response, whatever that query may be. Human-centered AI allows us to look at particular data sets, add our component, so a legal component, and generate a response based on our inputs. And that human-centered AI is where the legal community has been very focused for the last 5-6 years. It's certainly something that we use in the e-discovery space, but the legal component as input utilizing the tools on the market, that's where technical competency has evolved in the short term. And as I said, I think it will be interesting to see how generative AI plays into human-centered AI, how they intersect with each other, and how we proceed from here.
I think that's a great place to leave this. Ashley, thank you so much. I'm really interested to see how the conversation continues to evolve with generative AI and technical competency.
Thank you very much.
This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.